Hey, how's everyone doing? And welcome to the third episode of the Hoop Central podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Nakeem. Alongside me to my left is
Stetson Calicchio. What's up?
And then we got to my right, who is this?
Malik M3, bro. What's good?
And then to Malik's right,
we out here. It's Justin.
Stephen A. Smith.
Let's go.
In the flesh. Well, today we got a fun episode for you guys. We started off the first two episodes talking about our rankings between the two conferences, got all that boring stuff out the way, and now we're finally going to talk about the 2019-2020 season. And it's only right and fitting, since we are recording this in Toronto, we all are Canadian, to talk about the Canadian boy himself. Who am I talking about, boys?
What's your nickname for him, Alec?
Oh, God, please.
It's no. Andrew Wiggins.
Wiggy, Wiggy, Wiggy. Andrew Wiggins.
A-dubs. All right, let's jump right into it.
Get Malik off the show.
All right, so Andrew Wiggins, already easily in contention for most improved.
Easily.
He's having an absolutely insane season. Right now, he is averaging 25.5 points a game, 4.8 rebounds, 3.3 assists. He's shooting 47% from the field. His three-point percentage could be a little better, along with his free throw percentage. All in all, though, standout candidate for most improved player.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Easily, he's top two.
I don't want to be that guy, but
well, you're going to be that guy.
I don't think it's going to last.
You don't think it's going to
last?
So
this is just a hot streak?
What have we seen from him in the past that makes you think that this is going to last? November. Not even the whole year, just November.
It's the fact that we really haven't seen this, though.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's not like he doesn't have a track record of showing that he can sustain this level of excellence.
The thing is, he did
he hasn't been an all-star. Okay. He's not the best player on his team. They pay him like he's the best player on the team, but he's not.
What's his contract, 150?
I think it's 140, 150-ish. Somewhere.
4 years, I
somewhere,
think.
Yeah. Somewhere.
4 years, 150, right?
Yeah. Absolutely crazy.
Hey, Andrew Wiggins, I have on my fantasy team right now, and bro, he is balling out. You want to know why? Because he's shooting a career high, like Stetson said. He's shooting 47%
from
bro.
The field.
He's having a career high numbers. He's averaging almost 26 points per game, bro. On my fantasy team, he's carrying my ass right now, and he's making everyone better with him on the floor.
Like, I agree with that. Yeah. He's not. Now chill out when I say this. He's not LeBron, obviously.
No.
But as LeBron makes players better on the court with him.
Are you saying that Andrew Wiggins has the same effect on the game as LeBron James?
Not, that's why I stated that first, Stephen A. Smith. Stop changing my words.
Stephen.
He is making the people around him better.
Mm-hmm.
He does not have the LeBron effect. He never will. But he's making players on the court around him better.
He's my take, a much better ball handler right now.
My take?
He only has 1.5 turnovers a game.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
30-plus minutes on the floor, too.
There you go.
I think it's a matter of just him getting hot at the start of the season. I know a lot of people think that, you know, this is going to last a very long time, but... Come on.
All right, so how long are you saying this lasts for?
I'm saying this lasts.
This rides till the Christmas break, or
I'm saying this lasts probably 2 or 3 more weeks before we see him drop down. I'm not saying he's a scrub, obviously not. Like, he's a really good player. Well, he's a decent player, but I see him more in the 18 to 20 range in points. I don't really see him making much of an impact in the fourth quarter. Even though, you know, he's had a good. He's an NBA player. Like, these guys have
stretches
where they play well, but. He's not that guy.
Mind if I add something real quick?
Go ahead.
So, like, we've been talking, right now we've been saying that we don't know if he'll be able to sustain it, right? I believe he will. He can sustain the points. We've seen him sustain the points before when he averaged 23, 24 points a game, right? But the thing about with sustaining that I'm worried about is the winning. Because back then the Wolves were not winning games. Mm-hmm. So for him to be putting up these numbers and for the Wolves to be winning,
okay, well,
that's gonna be the
Wolves
big
started
draw.
Off what? They started off good, like 3-0 or something.
Yeah, right.
Yes, they
maybe
did.
Maybe even 4-0. They're 6-4
right
now.
6-4 right now. Yeah.
So you're saying 2 to 3 weeks? What are you saying he could finish with? Like, are you saying he's gonna
what's his points per game at the end of the year?
Or? Like points, rebounds, assists, field goal percentage.
Right now he's at 25.5 points a game.
And right now we're entering the fourth.
He's just under 5 rebounds.
Like he's not a playmaker, so he's not going to average that many assists. I think last year he averaged what? It was like
last
1 point
year,
something, right?
His assists were 2.5.
Yeah.
So 2.5.
He's at 3.3 right now. So
but do you see his teammates making those plays at the end of the year? All I'm saying is, do you think the Wolves are for real? If they're for real, then probably.
No chance.
No, no.
Then the Wolves are not for real.
Then their numbers are going
to
drop.
It's too early to tell right now. We're only entering the fourth week.
It's just that.
Well, I mean,
like, I don't want to hate on the Canadian guy. I know, because, you know, it's like the wrong thing to do. But I just.
Well, no.
There's nothing about Andrew Wiggins
someone's
that
like,
appeals
stats
to me.
Can be good, but like, this just means their team's legit. Like, you know, you look
like
at
who?
like the Memphis Grizzlies, like they're obviously not a legit team. They're a good young team, I think. They've got a lot of grit and grind, as their slogan says.
Yeah.
But like, okay, let's take a look at Ja Morant, for example, okay?
Let's look at Ja Morant. Let's do it.
Ja Morant, he's averaging 18 points a game, 5.2 assists, and 3.6 rebounds. That's solid. Good
number. For a rookie, for sure, yeah.
Great numbers, right? But like the team's not legit. So what is it?
No. That's not what I'm saying.
What are you saying?
Okay, look at the guys in the top 10 in scoring.
Oh, give me a sec.
Yeah, pull it up.
My boy Spicy P better be. He's obviously there.
He's in there. I think he's six.
He's tied for eighth with Davis.
Oh, eight?
Okay.
Okay. So Harden. Out of those teams,
Harden.
Hold on. Can I finish?
Go.
Out of those teams, out of those guys, sorry, those 10 guys, who's not making the playoffs? I just see one guy. How many players do you see not making the playoffs?
Not making the playoffs?
Yeah. Out of those guys,
top 10.
In the top 10, who's not making the playoffs?
I see two guys.
Two guys. Who do you see?
I see Trae Young and D'Angelo Russell.
You think the Hawks don't make it?
I don't think the Hawks make it. No.
Yeah, I agree with Stetson.
Where are they at right now in the standings?
Okay, so this goes to my point where
the Hawks are 4-6. I mean, okay, continue.
You have to do well in the on the stat side of it to help your team win. You're saying that stats don't impact winning. Right?
No, it's not what I'm getting at. I'm just saying, I thought you were arguing like that.
I'm arguing that as the team gets worse, his numbers will go down. That's what I'm saying.
I'm saying that he can't. But you're saying he can't be that. That brought me to my point. Like Ja Morant, he's averaging great numbers on a bad team.
Would you call those great numbers?
18, I would call 18 and 5.
18, 5 and 3 for your franchise point guard? Would you call that?
Especially for his first year. I think that's.
Yeah, that's what I'm playing. For a rookie, that's great.
For a better example, let's look at Devin Booker last year.
Give
me a second.
For Justin's argument, you could say the same thing to Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal is averaging 26 right now, all star numbers, and he's on a bad team.
There you go.
So you could say the exact same thing.
That's proof that your stats may not.
Does Bradley Beal have Karl Anthony Towns?
Bradley Beal has Rui Hachimura.
Yes. Thomas Bryant. You should be doing Rico Hines.
Yes, Isaiah Thomas, yeah.
They're playing the Celtics soon. Isaiah Thomas said?
You see that quote he said?
Isaiah Thomas wants to drop 50.
Shout out IT.
50 on my
he's
old
still
team.
In love with Boston? Like, come on.
He said he's over it.
He's not over it. It's like that girlfriend that dumps you for like a hotter guy. And you just like can't get over it.
You versus the guy she tells you not to worry
about. Right? Yeah, and like you just can't stop thinking
Steven?
About her.
Okay, Steven.
Come on. No, seriously, but he needs to get over it.
Yeah, he really does. It's been
Years? Wait, to go back, it was his fault. I mean, it's not his fault, but like.
Wait, who's this?
Isaiah Thomas.
Okay.
When his sister died, no one from the Celtics asked him to play.
Bradley
when he hurt his hip, no one from the Celtics.
I didn't even know he hurt his hip in that playoff.
He wanted to play. He wanted to do all this stuff.
How much did he drop for his sister? China
he showed
was 52.
Up. He showed up.
Is that a career high?
Yeah.
He
showed up.
He had a big
game,
night. But
is 52 his career high? I swear this guy dropped.
No, I think he dropped like 56.
I was
going to
say, didn't Isaiah Thomas drop 60?
Against Miami. He dropped like bare against Miami in the regular
season. I was so teary when Bradley Beal went up to him in the bench and he was like hugging. And, you know, that's motivation. That's good teammate. That's good chemistry, bro.
But I think it's like more of those things of like when a player actually goes out of his way to do that. Like he didn't have the right. He shouldn't have played, right? No one's asking him to play. But the fact that he did and he went off like that, it's like one of those things that usually with a certain organization that cements them as like, a great player, especially among the fans, right?
But all I'm saying is
sorry, his career high was 53 against the Wizards.
Okay, yes,
that's kind of
statement W.
But all I'm saying is, like, there's no loyalty in this game. So if you do all those things, you can't expect Boston to be like, oh, yeah, he played when his sister died. He played when his hip got hurt. We're not going to trade him to get better. And they are. Every single time.
Listen,
right?
At the end of
that's
the day,
just how sports
the
works.
NBA is a business.
Yeah, for sure.
That's how it works.
Sure.
So if they get rid of you, you can't be upset.
Kawhi Leonard.
Like, the Raptors getting rid of DeRozan, he can't be upset.
Okay, listen.
There's no way.
Whoa. I think DeRozan has a reason to be upset. Not because he got traded. No. Not because he got traded, because of how they found how he did it.
How it went down?
Yes, because I remember. There was like, they had like a, like,
Masai
like
lied to him, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Masai lied to
because
him.
DeRozan asked, he's like, because even on the interview, he's like, listen, I'm not saying I can't be traded. I get it. I'm a player in the NBA, you know? NBA is a business. But he's like, listen, even at the end of the day, DeRozan was our all-star. He was our savior for 9 straight years. What was it? Like 9 years,
yeah,
8 years with the Raptors?
Yeah, drafted 2008.
And the fact that Masai is going to, you know, say, hey, we're not going to trade you, and then to go and trade him.
But as a player, you have to be smarter than that. You have to know
But the thing is,
you can't take a GM by his word.
Even if he texted DeMar 10 minutes before it happened, be like, hey, man, we're going to trade you. He found out on Twitter in a Jack in the Box parking lot in LA.
Yeah.
But
that's what I'm saying. You have to expect these kind of things. Like, if you're the franchise player,
agree. There's no loyalty in the NBA.
There's no loyalty. If you're a player, do not think the GM loves you because he doesn't. If he can do anything to save his job and make the team win, they will do it 10 out of 10 times.
I will say, though.
That's what I'm saying.
Masai Ujiri robbed the San Antonio Spurs.
Robbed them.
He's a smart ass guy.
No, not at all. Because
you don't think that was robbery?
No, not at all. I think the Spurs got the best that they could have because everybody in the NBA knew Kawhi Leonard wanted out.
Well, an NBA championship doesn't
mean anything.
Sorry?
You won the NBA championship. What?
No, but this, you said the Spurs got robbed. So I'm telling you why they didn't get robbed. I'm telling you why they didn't get robbed. Because everybody in the league knew Kawhi Leonard wanted out. So are you going to package your best player for a guy you know the Spurs are trying to get rid of? No, you're not. DeMar DeRozan was probably the best player on the market for the Spurs at the time, so they had to jump and make that trade. And they traded him to Canada, man. They did their best.
Okay, listen. Just think about it like this. In NBA, something I've realized is like picks don't mean a whole lot. Like people just throw in picks just cuz now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So then you traded. Because the trade was DeMar DeRozan and Jakob Poeltl and a first rounder, I believe.
Yeah, first rounder. Ended up being Keldon Johnson.
Yeah.
Exactly,
my point. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
For Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green. So you traded, in theory, just hear me out on this. You trade Kawhi Leonard for DeMar DeRozan, right? The Raptors win that. If it was just a 1-1, right?
Yeah.
The Raptors win that. You trade Jakob Poeltl for Danny Green, the Raptors win that.
Yeah.
And then you just give them a first round pick.
That's the thing. The part where I think the robbery comes is not the DeMar DeRozan Kawhi thing, because that's obviously the corner point.
As well.
But the fact is,
Danny Green was a throw-in.
But the thing is, Spurs wanted originally either Siakam or OG Anunoby, and Masai refused to give those two players.
Do you guys remember back like a couple years ago when the Raptors were trying to get Ibaka? They wanted like our number 9 pick. They wanted like Patrick Patterson. Like they wanted like Powell.
The Thunder, right?
Yeah, they wanted 3 guys and like.
They wanted Van Vliet as well.
Yeah.
Past offseason?
No. This was when Serge Ibaka was on OKC.
Oh, Orlando?
Maybe.
No.
This is when he was on OKC because then he got traded to Orlando.
This is before.
I need to look up this trade. Give me a sec.
I know what you're talking about. I remember it was a.
We traded T. Ross.
It was a number 9th pick who ended up being Jakob Poeltl. It was also Norman Powell, Fred Van Vliet, because I think that was Fred's first year. But
Fred went undrafted, though.
I know, but Fred wasn't. He was a rookie, but he wasn't like that good. So they thought they could just sneak Fred in the trade, right?
In the trade.
Yeah. And there was someone else. I forget who.
So who proposed this trade? OKC.
Because the Raptors was trying to get
the Raptors went to them about it, and they're like, this is what we want. It was like something like Pat. I swear they wanted like Patterson, Powell, the number 9 pick. It was a crazy demand.
Yeah, it was a stupid trade. And then they ended up going to Orlando and getting him for T-Ross in a first.
Yeah, well, T-Ross in a first.
Long story short, the NBA does not care about their... Well, that's kind of hyperbole, but...
So, sorry. I think I have it here. If this is it, just give me a second, boys.
There's no loyalty in this game. So, if you're DeRozan, if you're Isaiah Thomas, if you're anybody...
Yeah.
You can't expect these guys... Even Damian Lillard right now saying, I want to stay in Portland for the rest of my career, blah, 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 blah. When year, 12 comes around and you guys still aren't for real and the Blazers feel like they can get better, they're going to trade you, buddy.
So, sorry. Yeah, the trade offer was they asked for Corey Joe, Patrick Patterson, Norman Powell, and the number 9 pick.
That's way too much.
And we got him for Terrence Ross in the first.
Yeah, Ujiri, he's the best GM in... You can argue he's the best general manager in sports.
He works his way around.
I mean, I think
Brian
Cashman on the Yankees.
But there's no cap in that league, so they can just
that's fair
they can
because
just dish out the money.
They're just like, hey, you want for $400 million?
We'll give it to you.
There you go.
Exactly. So
yeah, because you buy your players in that league.
You know what?
In the salary cap league, come on. Yeah. What he's doing is it's remarkable. Like he's getting guys that are undrafted, late first round, second round picks.
I will say
turning them into all stars.
I will say this:
it's unbelievable.
Our developmental staff, best in the league. Best in
Spurs,
the
Spurs, Raptors
league.
are kind of jockeying for position.
No,
remember when he was in Denver?
Look at Pascal.
Oh.
And he's the one that pulled off the Carmelo Anthony trade?
Yep. Carmelo Ronaldo, Baldwin, Chauncey Billups, Anthony Carter, and built a legacy for Denver, and the draft pick turned to Jamal Murray.
I'm not even talking about Masai Ujiri on this one. I'm talking about, like, guys like Patrick Mutombo, like people like
Alex McKechnie.
Stackhouse. Yeah, McKechnie, like
McGore. Oh, Stackhouse.
Big McGore. Cat. Yeah, like people who have been with this team, like
Toronto OG.
Like, yo,
even you look at Scott McCullough in there.
Pascal, look what he's become. He's Van Vliet. Look what Boucher's doing.
Exactly.
Pirtle was getting there. He was like he was just some big lanky white boy from Utah.
Yeah.
And like they were turning him into a decent product. He was averaging like 5 and 5 with us. Mm-hmm. Like the Raptors
don't. It's not even
staff.
The players they drafted. Look at what they did to Kyle Lowry. This guy was casted away as a coach killer, as a dude that you didn't want on your team.
Yeah, he was a hard nosed Houston Rockets. Casey's like, he's a hard nosed kid from Philly.
And the Raptors turned him into an NBA champion, man.
So that's what I'm saying. The Raptors, it's unbelievable. G League, is it G League? Yeah, it's G League staff. Best in the league. It's not even up for debate. Yeah.
Nurse used to coach the G League team at one point as well, I believe.
Absolutely. You know,
now they have
stuff really took off when Stackhouse became the head coach.
Yeah.
Because like Stackhouse was just. Where is he now? Memphis?
No.
Because what's his?
Penny Hardaway's in Memphis. Yeah. Stackhouse is somewhere else. I can't.
Is he in
recall.
Like Brooklyn? No.
Jerry Stackhouse in Memphis.
Jerry Stackhouse in Memphis.
Is he still?
Last time I checked.
I think so.
Assistant coach in Memphis, like the Grizzlies?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was coaching a NCAA team.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Oh, no, that's Penny Hardaway.
He's coaching Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt.
He's the head coach of Vanderbilt.
Yeah. And you know what? Since we were talking about Masai Ujiri, that's when I get to the next topic of our show. And that's basically the past weekend we've seen the Raptors go up against the Lakers and the Clippers on a back-to-back, one of the toughest back-to-backs you're going to have in the NBA. And we're just going to talk about we shed light a little bit on it, but let's talk a little bit more about the players that showed out. Now, we know that the Raptors have Kyle Lowry injured. They have Serge Ibaka injured. They have Patrick McCaw injured. OG Anunoby got injured against the Clippers within the first 2 minutes. But guys like Boucher, Terrence Davis,
Father
Matt
Boucher,
Thomas,
stretch my hands.
Rondae Hollis Jefferson, the whole depth that everyone was kind of questioning the Raptors after the Kawhi left in free agency and Danny Green left, they're like, how are they going to get things done? Well, we saw them look like they're getting things done.
Oh, beating the Lakers in LA,
first place
with the Lakers'
team in the
like healthy
right now.
Roster,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have Kyle Lowry and Serge Ibaka.
That's
not like your typical. And then back to the Clippers game, they all played the Clippers. They got tired in the fourth quarter.
That's literally all.
If
that
they
happened.
Didn't play the night before,
they would have won that game.
Mm-hmm.
Like the stuff I was seeing from guys like Terrence Davis and Boucher and like Matt Thomas,
Rondae's defense on Kawhi Leonard,
Hollis Jefferson, grabbing two steals. Because
you guys remember when
Kawhi's kind of overrated right now.
Yeah, like do you remember when we first acquired the like Hollis Jefferson and
Stanley Johnson?
Stanley Johnson, yeah. When that article came out saying like, oh yeah, Nick Nurse is getting upset at them.
Oh, he went off on them in a press interview.
Oh my god, in the practice.
He's like, they're
yeah.
not doing anything. He's like, they're not getting back on defense. Like, if you guys don't want, like we know what it takes to get a championship. This is how we're gonna do it. If you don't like it, get out.
Yeah.
It just sets the groundwork.
It's a championship caliber team now.
You saw like when Hollis Jefferson was like guarding LeBron, like he was like obviously
he was up in
LeBron's
his
obviously LeBron. He's
yeah,
gonna,
obviously, yeah.
He'll drop an easy 20 every game. Easy 30, arguably. But it's like Hollis Jefferson's not making... Like, he's making him work for all his baskets.
Yeah.
Like, I was so impressed with how he was playing.
Yeah, on Kawhi. Sorry to cut you off, Malik.
Oh, good, bro.
Kawhi only had 12 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists on near triple-double, right? Sounds great. He was like 2 of 13, 2 of 14 shooting from the field, and he had
Who's
9
this?
Turnovers. Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, yeah, he had a terrible game.
And it's because of Rondae's defense. Not just Rondae. As soon as Kawhi caught it, they knew what to do because they had Kawhi before. They knew what was able to get him off of his game and stuff. They sent a double team, but they didn't send just a regular double team. They made sure they sent one with length. So if Boucher was on the court, if Gasol was on the court, because when you have length around Kawhi, he's going to force them to make either a pass that's going to go out of bounds or a long, high pass, easy for interceptions.
Okay, so
I don't have to say much on the subject, but the fact that the Raptors were able to beat the Lakers and then lose to the Clippers by...
It was 10, but it was like it was closer because it was in like foul trouble, or not foul trouble, excuse me, but it was in like low time and like they just had to like foul because they were down by like 5 and then they got up with free throws.
Is highly impressive, and it would not surprise me if this team went back to back.
That's okay. I'm not saying this team's gonna go back to back.
No, I'm not saying they will. I'm saying it's not a surprise if they make it there.
Look at the resilience of this team. They play so well with their backs against the wall.
Remember what they did last year with El Kawhi when they went up to Golden State?
17
and
smacked
the
face.
Dude,
I've said this stat before.
I will say it again. Games Kawhi's inactive. Raptors were on pace for 63 wins. They were blowing out teams by 20. This team, I remember, I was talking to everyone over the summer. Like, everyone's like, oh, yeah, the Raptors are going to be like a borderline playoff team.
Some people
like,
said they weren't even going to make the playoffs.
Like, I was like, the disrespect is real. Like,
exactly.
Like,
Even Stephen A. doesn't agree with that. Come on.
Yeah.
Okay, but Stephen A. is an absolute buffoon. Like, his comment was so, like, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Blasphemous.
Blasphemous to say that.
Remember when we were versing the Milwaukee
audacity
series?
Of him to say he wants the NBA champion to be an American.
That's just, and the fact that he still has his job. Like, if anybody else says that, they're going to be put on leave. But it's because Stephen A. basically carries ESPN.
Milwaukee was up 2-0 against the Raptors, and Stephen A. said the series is done.
I'll defend him on that just because he stated his reasoning, and I'm like, well, it's stupid, but it makes sense. I think he was saying how, like, he doesn't want to go through
customs and all that stuff.
And it's all big whoop, man.
I don't think he meant it.
What's the excuse?
Americans have a different... It's just the way he said it, too. The way he said it was, with so much, like, anger or something.
I wouldn't make too much out of it. He's coming regardless, so it doesn't even matter what he thinks.
And also, what's it called? I don't know about playoffs, but in regular season, whenever ESPN or TNT have nationally televised games of the Raptors in Toronto, they don't get ratings for that.
Yeah, because TSN and Sportsnet.
Yeah, so they don't actually get in money from those games. That's why you never really see the Raptors on national televised games. That's why Christmas was such a big shock.
Right. It's not a beef. The NBA doesn't have a beef with the Raptors. They have a beef with the system.
Yeah,
the fact that they can't make
money. And any way they can get money, that's why the Knicks have been on Christmas, because you're going to make money off the Knicks.
Right. Because the Knicks are just the
people
Knicks.
People are going to sell. Yeah, the Garden's going to get sold out. Yeah, sold out.
The fact that the NBA pushed for a Christmas game for the Raptors is 100% not fair. They pushed for it.
Well,
people didn't want
it. They had no choice.
And they pushed for the TV ratings.
You can't have the defending champion not get a Christmas game.
It's so unfair, just like the system in the NBA.
Oh, when we got the NBA, when we won the NBA championship, that's when I knew we were getting an NBA game. But I was like, how are they going to screw us over?
Yeah, how are they going to?
Like, how are they going
to? They made it 12 o'clock. That's what they did. They put it the earliest time where no one's watching.
Imagine, they should have done
that. That's 9 a.m. in the Pacific time.
Right, no one's watching. Everyone's still opening their presents. Everybody's still, you know, chilling.
It would have been the perfect opportunity to put a Kawhi return to Toronto.
But instead, let's just do the Battle of LA. Like, why not?
Like, we already seen that opening night.
That sells better.
I know, but like, just that game would have been had so much hype around it because Kawhi's return to, like, we've already seen the Battle of LA beginning of the year.
If Kawhi's return was on Christmas,
imagine that.
That would have been crazy.
The atmosphere in Toronto would have been crazy. So, but the thing is, you can always do the schedule differently, you know?
Oh, okay. You're talking from the summertime.
Yeah. All right. So, that's it. Yeah. I think everyone's got their opinions out on Masai and the Raptors. I think they've been doing really good, surprising a lot of people.
Can I add something?
Yep.
If the Raptors lose Masai to New York, they will go back to being mediocre.
100%.
Okay, I'll say one thing.
I completely agree with
that. I'll say one thing.
You know what?
Thing.
Bobby Webb.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
The next year, they will not make the playoffs.
Bobby Webster, I'll say this.
That's a genius.
He is learning a lot from Masai.
The next year, they will not make the playoffs.
That's a bold take.
That's a bold take.
Sounds like something Malik would say.
But Malik will say something else to make it even more bolder.
Malik, add on to that. What do you have to say?
You know what? Wait, what was the question? I forgot.
I'm saying if the Raptors lose Ujiri to the Knicks, they will not make the playoffs.
I don't think they won't make the playoffs.
And the Knicks will return. Well, they never were, but they will be great.
I know about those accusations, but I think Raptors still have the resiliency. I think they still have that development type mentality to make the playoffs. Like, I think people built off of Masai's legacy. Let's take a look at Masai's legacy. Denver Nuggets, Melo, Ronaldo Balkman, Chauncey Billups, and Anthony Carter to New York. Gone. For picks.
That was a
heist, Gallinari,
buddy. That was a heist.
And Gallinari. Gallinari and for a pick that turned to Jamal Murray.
And guys, remember, Carmelo was going to be a free agent at the end of that year.
He was going to sign with New York.
He was going to sign with the Knicks, and he still pulled that off. Come on, guys.
I think Bobby Webster could hold his own. I think they developed a lot of chemistry. When Masai came to Toronto, he started legacy. Starting with the Bariani trade for Marcus Camby, Steve Novak, and Quinton, they started a rebuild. That pick turned to Jakob
Poeltl. And they got a first pick.
You want to know
what? A first round pick.
A first round pick
from the Knicks.
For Bargnani.
Okay.
Hey, what's wrong with Primo Pasta Boy?
Yeah. Okay. Tell me about this.
You guys don't remember those commercials?
Yeah. I loved it.
Okay, so look, guys, I want to ask you a question. Do you think that Tyler Hansbrough was one of the most underrated signings in the Raptors franchise?
Not even
right
close.
Now?
Freak was terrible.
Tyler Hansbrough.
He was good for a while, like maybe a year.
What?
Is this another one of Malik's?
I think he brought that mentality.
He brought
you know,
toughness.
Coming from the Indiana Pacers, he brought that toughness.
He
brought that intimidation.
Was it
I was a huge fan of Tyler
Hansbrough.
Well,
we brought in Tyler Hansbrough. Well, we're getting sidetracked, but I'll just say this real quick. They brought in Tyler Hansbrough and DJ Augustine, who were with the Pacers the year before, and the Pacers had the worst bench in the NBA that year.
Yeah.
So it's...
Everyone's like, oh, Tyler Hansbrough. He's got like a...
Really?
He had a temper for sure. But like, I think it's... Was it...
I loved Taylor.
Why am I blanking? What was Better World Peace's name before?
Ron Artest.
Was it the remember that one clip? I think it was like he's like getting like someone hits him and then he turns around and it's Ron Artest and then Tyler Hansbrough's
completely. Oh, he got scared. Yeah.
Tyler Hansbrough was not underrated.
Ron Artest, Detroit Pistons and Indiana Pacers street fight, bro. And they're the arena Malice fight. That was palace. Legendary at the Palace, bro. That was crazy.
I mean,
crazy.
You can't throw a drink onto a player. There will be repercussions for that. And I don't...
Next, Rudy Gay's gone. With Quincy Acey and Aaron Gray, we got that Chuck was Case, a... Patrick
sorry,
Patterson,
can
Bruce Baskin,
sorry, sorry, can I cut you off? Can I cut you off?
Okay, sir.
That right there, the Rudy Gay trade, turned this whole thing around.
Yep.
That was the start of it.
It was literally once that trade went down, they went from being the laughing stock of the league to
the third,
hey, wait.
They went to the third seed that same...
These guys can do some damage.
We also traded Austin Day for Fernando DiColo, like who we still have rights on right now.
Super sorry, but Justin, look at this guy. He looks like OG Anunoby outside the window.
Oh, my gosh.
Guys, if you see Justin, one of my friends said he looks like Joel Embiid.
Justin looks like Joel. He's buddy in the parka.
We're really getting off topic right now. This is crazy. That's where they're looking at us. They can see us.
They can see us, but like, okay. Continue. Just finish up my side real quick.
All right. Well, I think his legacy will forever live on because, you know, how about that Lou Williams trade? John Salmons for Lucas Nigueira and Lou Williams.
That is
from
actually
the Atlanta Hawks.
A great trade.
Baby. What?
That is a great trade. John Salmons.
Two for one. We just traded Salmons. Just here you go. And we were getting an injured Lou Williams. He bursted out, and we started his six-man reign from now and there. Honestly. And, you know, the accusations of Bismack and DeLon Wright in 2015. Subtract the...
DeLon Wright was an unreal draft pick.
DeLon Wright was amazing.
I love DeLon Wright.
Let's not talk about the Anthony Bennett signing in 2015. Let's not talk about that.
Just skip over that.
Skip over that.
That was
just one thing to add. If we did not have Fred, DeLon would have flourished in Toronto. But it's because we had so much point guard depth. Like, look, as soon as he went to Memphis, he had, like, three straight games with triple-doubles.
Stop it.
He could do it.
Stop it. He would have the same impact as Fred VanVleet.
No, I'm saying that if we did not have Fred, he would have took in more of like, he has an all-around
the
game.
Same impact or what are you
Not impact,
talking about?
But I'm saying like when he went to Memphis, he had three straight games with triple-doubles in like the first five that he was with Memphis. But I'm saying it wasn't like just like, it wasn't 10, 10, and 10. It was like 25, 13,
at, like,
and 12.
If he's like a primary scoring option, he can do some damage.
Like off the bench, yeah, he can actually play. Like I remember when he went up against Kelly Oubre in the playoffs. All
right, we got a couple minutes left. Let's kick it to Brandon Ingram.
Yes.
Another MIP candidate. What are you guys' thoughts on Brandon Ingram? He's absolutely...
I have no thoughts on Brandon.
He's averaging 8 points per game more than last year. He's averaging 26.
I thought you were going to say he's averaging 8
question,
points.
Question,
yeah, where are you getting your stats from?
Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you guys a question
more
real quick?
Than last season.
What's up?
Who is the best player to ever come out of Duke?
Okay, so are we saying like...
Zion Williams.
Are we saying like in the NBA? Like,
yeah, who's the best player to come out of Duke?
So like from their legacy in the NBA?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not talking like Christian Laettner is the best player to come out of the school, but I'm talking like who's the best player
Duke
in the NBA?
Player.
Yeah.
Who I might have to best Duke player. There's some players
because,
that come to mind.
Because the narrative is that Duke players don't succeed in the NBA. That's the narrative.
I mean,
Marvin Bagley is on
Let's
the come
like,
up.
Is it Kyrie Irving? That'd be my vote.
Yeah, Kyrie for because like, you're not going to say who Rodney Hood, Jahlil Okafor, Dante Jones like.
Right.
Yeah.
Grant Hill if he doesn't get hurt.
Kyle Singler, bro. Like,
I think we're all in agreement with Kyrie.
I can.
I think Kyrie Irving. And
do you think
no disrespect? Because
do you think Brandon Ingram has a chance to take that? Eventually,
that was gonna be my second question.
Okay.
No, I don't think so. I think he has a lot.
I say absolutely
ahead of him.
Not.
I don't think so though.
I don't think so, but I can't take away from his season. He's having a crazy season right now, Brandon Ingram.
Luke Kennard's
26 points
season.
A game, 7.3 rebounds, 4 assists, 54% from the field, and 47% from the three.
The 54% from the field, just like my eyes go like, wow. And he's 6'9", 190 pounds. I think if you could build muscle.
And can we stop with the whole he's the next Kevin Durant? Because he's not.
It's just exactly. Just Bruno Caboclo.
It's not.
Bruno Caboclo's the next Kevin Durant.
It's not.
Bruno Caboclo is the Brazilian Kevin Durant. Let's just get that out there.
Yeah, he's
Brandon
up next.
Ingram can't even like wipe Kevin Durant's shoes. Can we? No. Stop it. He's not even close to Kevin Durant. He doesn't look like Kevin Durant. He doesn't play like Kevin Durant. Stop it.
He's Brandon Ingram.
Stop it.
Let's just
stop.
Leave it at
Get
that. Leave it at
yeah. You don't have to, you know, in the NBA, you don't have to compare yourself. Just
but they,
be,
everyone
just
loves
be you.
Comparing
Reach your full
people.
Potential. Be
yeah,
your full
it's like,
potential.
Don't try and be, like, I don't know who it was, but someone's like, I think it maybe was Doncic. He's like, I'm not trying to be like the next LeBron. I'm trying to be like the first Luka Doncic, or I don't know who it was, but someone made that thing.
I think you might be right.
I don't even know if he was LeBron, but someone said, I'm not trying to be this person. I'm trying to be the first of this person. And I was like, I like that.
I remember someone said that in the draft, the most recent draft this year. I forget who, though. One of the top picks.
And I see a lot of comparisons to Kevin Garnett.
With
who? Brandon Ingram?
Yeah.
Huh? No.
Kuminga with KG? Yeah.
Huh. That makes no... Just his... KG's dog mentality.
No, and just alone. The length. You know what I mean? How like, Kevin Garnett... Kevin Garnett, sorry.
The play styles are completely
right,
different,
that's
though.
What I'm saying with the comparisons.
How, yeah. Like, yo, I could say, like, oh, Boban's length reminds me of...
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying how they compare body... And not really playing style. You know what I mean?
Well, he's added a fade to his game.
If a dude comes out and he's 6'8", 250, everyone compares him to LeBron.
I could be the biggest, like, KG hater in the world. Can't stand that guy.
Really?
What?
I hate Kevin Garnett.
Kevin Garnett? You hate Kevin Garnett? As, like, a player, as a person? Like, what do you mean?
Everything? Off the court, I think he's a pretty
on the
cool
court,
dude.
What's, on the you can't court, deny him.
On the court, he's a competitor. Real
he's a raptor
competitor.
Killer, okay? Obviously,
okay, yeah. I can feel that. Like, I hate Paul Pierce.
Wait,
passion.
How is he a raptor killer?
It's just that Brooklyn
series.
Did he
have that block? Or was that Paul Pierce?
Paul Pierce blocked Larry in the Brooklyn Nets game 7.
Garnett's just like a... Listen.
When he told Carmelo that he wants to eat his wife's Cheerios.
Honey Nut Cheerios. Oh my gosh.
You hate that?
Yeah,
I hate that. And then Melo wanted to meet him outside?
Literally was outside the team bus.
Meet me outside, bro.
Waiting to throw hands?
Imagine Melo throwing hands with KG.
Who wins that fight?
I just think
KG
that
by a
KG
mile.
Wins that fight?
KG alone.
And Rondo's the referee.
Everyone talks about that, the Boston Three Party. You know, everyone talks about it as like, oh.
That started it.
They won a single championship.
They would have won more. And
they're trying to squeeze.
If KG did not get injured, they would have won the one.
In 2010?
Yes.
Ray Allen got out of that one.
Because
Brooklyn Nets put off one of the worst
I think
trades.
Kendrick Perkins was injured and KG was injured. And they still went to 7. Yeah.
They tried to squeeze everything out of this championship.
Yeah,
like, do you know they have like reunions like every 5 years?
Yeah, like it's not that serious.
Like, come on, guys. It was 2008. And you guys were by far the best team.
Exactly,
we know that.
Yeah.
And that kind of started the whole Big Three.
And there's
era.
That started Super Team.
No. Super Teams have been around since the beginning. That's why I don't get when people are like, I don't like Super Teams. No, the NBA.
The Lakers were the first Super Team with Elgin Baylor, Will Chamberlain, Jerry West.
The NBA was built off stacking the deck. Like,
exactly.
Look throughout history, the teams that win are usually the teams that have the best
players.
Yeah.
But I mean, like the Bulls, like, come on.
The Bulls were a Super Team.
My bad. I know we don't really
Jordan,
talk about the
Pippen,
60s.
Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, Steve Kerr.
Yeah, it's a Super Team.
Super Team, yeah. Sorry.
The Lakers with Kobe, Shaq, you know, Robert Horry to some degree, Rick Fox, Derek Fisher. That's a super team.
Do you consider that Lakers team that won the championship in 2010 a super team with like Kobe, Pau Gasol, that one?
No, I think they're like
the team that Dallas beat the year after. That team?
Yeah.
With Bynum, Pau Gasol.
Yeah, Kobe. Lamar Odom.
Like, do you consider that Trevor?
That is a super team.
Derek Fisher.
Super team.
I would say
under the line of a super team.
Right. That's what I would say. Like, Lamar Odom could have started.
They're definitely an elite level starting five.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, and their depth was actually really good as well.
Yeah.
Trevor Ariza was actually a very good player that year for them.
The definition of a super team is what? Having three all-stars on one team?
I think three stars. Three stars is the big thing.
Okay, then yeah, I would say so. Pau Gasol was a superstar.
But then who's the third one?
This Raptors team that won the championship, that was not a super team.
This team that just won?
Yeah.
Yeah, but if Kevin Durant plays, then they don't win. Are you really going to try to argue that with me?
Debate for another day. We're not even going to get into that.
Debate for another day. Raptors are 7.
Very debatable.
Raptors are 7.
That is not debatable.
Raptors are 7.
Okay.
Yo, I got a notification from my phone right now. It says Orlando Magic are eyeing DeMar DeRozan. Orlando is scoring the trademark.
They might be
already
eyeing him, but I can guarantee he is not eyeing them back.
That is a horrible
What are they
going to
offer to
What are they
going to
offer? What's Spurs going to say? We want Fultz? No.
Are they
going to
answer the phone call?
Vucevic and Fournier and someone else?
That's not enough.
Imagine Markel Fultz with the Spurs. I can already see Greg Popovich either molding him into a star or either driving him out the house.
Okay, Orlando, I agree. Fultz on the Spurs, that could be interesting.
Yeah. Remember when, sorry to get off topic again. Remember when Chris Paul was a free agent and he was leaving the Clippers and he went to the Rockets? I remember one of his choices were the Spurs. And that would have been a perfect fit. It was him, LaMarcus Aldridge, Kawhi Leonard. Oh, my gosh. Anyways, I just wanted to say that because I hated him for not going to the Spurs because they would have easily been a championship contender in the West. Anyways,
I wonder how things would change.
Let's talk about next topic on the line is obviously we talked about a little bit. The Western Conference is obviously where the storylines are packed. The East, We would have been talking about like the Atlanta Hawks, but John Collins got suspended over drugs.
In five games. See you later.
DeAndre
Ayton. That's a big loss for them.
Yeah,
see you later.
Like,
see
John
later.
Collins now, is legit.
Another player who got suspended is DeAndre Ayton.
See you later, DeAndre.
25 games.
Bro, I had this guy on my fantasy team. I had to auto draft, and then it's suspended 25 games. I'm like,
that's tough.
Come on, bro.
He got suspended as well, but the Suns are still playing amazing somehow.
Suns are doing
now. Let me pull up some. Let me pull up some stats for you guys, just so we get on the same page. Yes.
One word besides Booker, Monty.
Monty Williams.
Monty Williams. Shout out Monty.
I don't get about that. When he was in New Orleans, they were kind of just average. So I'm not sure. Because
New Orleans had average talent.
So does Phoenix.
Devin Booker's not that average. You calling Devin Booker average?
I'm saying
Devin Booker. Justin, look me in the eyes and say Devin Booker's average right
now. I'm saying Devin Booker isn't as good as people say he is.
25 points per game, 6 assists, 3 boards per game, 54% career high.
Remember that time,
per game.
Wait. I'm not going to deny a stat line. I'm saying the impact that he has on the game. Anybody can stuff the stat sheet. Hey, you give a guy 30 shots, any guy. They're at least putting up
30. For sure.
High.
I mean, like when Kobe dropped 60 in his final game, what was it, like 50 shots?
Right.
Yeah, it was 50 shots, 22 out of 50 or something
like
that.
Right, right, right.
So well, like, okay, one thing I'll say is that the collective group of players that the Suns have, Monty Williams has them in a type of system that's perfect for them. And let me say this so we get a little bit more backstory about the Suns before we talk about them. The Suns are number one in assists in the NBA at 28.1 per game.
Are they really number one?
They're number one in assists. They're number one in field goal percentage at 47.5%. They're number five in points per game at 116.8. And they're currently, I think they lost last night, so they're now 6-4. So
you got to thank Ricky Rubio.
Look at Devin Booker's stats, man. 25.3 points a game. His rebounds could be better. I'm not going to lie. 3.3. His assists are great. Just shy of 6. His field goal percentage is where this really takes off.
Career high.
54.1 from the field.
It's nuts.
51 from the three.
Nuts.
That's absurd.
Remember when he put up 70 on Boston?
No. Remind
me. Put up 70 on the
I want to. They lost. I want to find some way to throw it in there. But there needs to be an asterisk beside that.
Why is that?
Because...
Oh, they're definitely they were fouling.
The Suns were fouling, calling timeout, you know, doing all that stuff.
They were chasing for that 70. Right. It wasn't an automatic 70.
It's not, it wasn't a natural 70.
Yeah.
Like how.
That was the most points in Kobe, yeah?
Most points since David Robinson.
Since Kobe. Kobe had 81. Kobe.
No, but David Robinson had 72.
But it was the most since Kobe.
Oh, since Kobe. Right. Sorry,
David
my bad.
That, like,
my bad.
When was that? Like,
I love
late
David
90s,
Robinson.
Early 2000s for David Robinson?
Yeah, we had 73.
Sorry, my bad. I thought you were
Clippers.
Saying, like, it's the most points, like,
no, like,
under Kobe.
Since Kobe.
Yeah.
One thing I want to touch on is Ricky Rubio is playing amazing right now.
Six rebounds and 9 assists.
I'll be real with you. Like, I'm not, like, hating on Ricky Rubio. I have not heard someone say Ricky Rubio once this year.
Really? And that's what the thing is. They have underrated players. Like, Kelly Oubre is kind of shining a little bit. No one's going to expect Kelly Oubre to be amazing.
Aaron Baines is going nuts right now.
Aaron Baines is playing amazing.
Holy.
He just had 20 points last night against the Lakers.
It's going crazy, bro.
Does anybody remember that draft when the 09 draft where Blake Griffin went number one?
Yeah.
And remember when Minnesota had back-to-back picks?
And they picked Ricky Rubio and Johnny Flynn.
Not knowing that they had that kid from Davidson just sitting there, waiting for his name to be called.
Just hi, I have my father playing in the league, bro. Hi, I'm here.
Wait, what?
Damn it, Malik. Well,
Curry.
Oh, yeah.
That's about hi, my father playing in the league, Curry.
Wait, what?
You're talking about Curry, right?
Yeah, you're just chilling there.
You're just.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Hi, my father playing in the league, bro. What's up?
Yeah, so he was just sitting there. So Minnesota, I think they're probably still kicking themselves for that.
Obviously.
But then again, like, them picking Ricky Rubio wasn't so, like, far-fetched.
Because he was an amazing player going into that draft. Everyone was raving about Ricky Rubio, the Spanish sensation.
I think he played in the Olympics in 08 that year, right? He was, like, 17 or something like that at the time.
And he, like, played amazing
against
the
Team
US.
USA. Yeah, he played phenomenal.
I think they got the silver.
Yeah, they lost.
Yeah.
So them picking him shows that he has some sort of talent. So it doesn't surprise me that... I think it's happened a little bit later than people expected, but he's showing why he was a top 5 pick.
And one of the things is he's a very sneaky good defender. Remember the series against the Utah Jazz against the Oklahoma City Thunder? He was playing great defense on Russell Westbrook, getting into his head to the point where Russell Westbrook was saying, "I'm going at this guy." And you know when someone's saying you're going at this guy, especially the player like Russell with his temper?
Personal.
Are you comparing Ricky Rubio to Russell Westbrook?
Not at all. That is, oh my gosh. Stetson just pulled up the draft board of Johnny Flynn.
Photo, it's this
shout out to Johnny Flynn. I don't know what
page called No Context NBA.
Where you at?
And it's just
you.
Like the 6 and 7 draft picks. And it was Johnny Flynn and Steph Curry.
Hey man, no worries, Johnny Flynn. It's not your fault. It's Minnesota's fault. It's not your fault.
Going back to the Phoenix Suns, I think they also have like a lot of depth rookie-wise. I want to see them develop Michael Bridges. Michael Bridges is not averaging a lot of minutes right now. He's not putting up big numbers. I think he's averaging 5, 3, and 3.
Well, sorry, was he was drafted by Philly, right?
Yes, and they Michael got Bridges traded. Yeah. And then they traded him. For Zaire Smith.
I think players like Cameron Johnson, Michael Bridges, and Eli Okobo, I think if they develop them, put them back in the G League, get them back up, I think they could develop them really well.
Sounds could be a nice team.
I think they could be a nice team.
Was Zaire Smith the dude that had that allergic reaction to the peanut?
Yeah, that's him.
I really like Michael
Crazy
Bridges.
Crazy athletic.
Are we saying they're going to make the playoffs?
The Suns?
No.
Where are they at right now?
No, I don't think so.
I think they're like 7th or 8th right now.
They're tied with Minnesota and Dallas.
They dropped hard.
They were 6th last night before the Lakers game, but after they lost, they
dropped. But they're only 2 games out of first.
Oh, guys, you might
I know it's early, but do they make the playoffs?
I just think it's too much for Devin Booker to carry.
You guys might have asked a good question.
Yeah.
No, I was...
let's go.
I was reading on Fadeaway Sports this morning. They're saying if Pistons have a disappointing season, they're saying Suns could be one of the suitors to trade up
Blake Griffin
for Blake Griffin and try to get in the playoff run. What do you guys think of that? What specific assets do you think you guys could trade? I just want to know your thoughts on that because I was thinking and I'm like
Marquise
I'm not
Chris
sure
with them anymore, right?
Marcus Chris is in
are you asking
Chris
the goes to,
no Golden
to
State
yeah
Golden
because
State.
I could think of they can't give up Booker, they can't give up DeAndre Ayton. I think they signed Ruby
the contracts don't even match up. They don't have enough like money on.
Would you trade Ayton for Blake Griffin?
No, he's too young. You don't know what he can become.
I feel like they would ask for Kelly. I feel like they would ask
for
Kelly.
I would at least consider it.
But Blake Griffin is injury prone, though. Blake Griffin's injured every single season.
What do you guys think of that
front
court?
You don't want to take that risk.
Blake Griffin and DeAndre Ayton as a front court.
It doesn't even fit the timeline as well.
Yeah, actually, I'd have to like think about it, but like,
just off what else is in there.
I don't know if I'm doing that.
Yeah.
But at this point right now, Blake Griffin's a better player. Can we all agree on that, or?
Than DeAndre.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, okay.
How many more years does Blake Griffin really have in him?
What, Blake Griffin's like
30
now?
His knees are giving up on him.
Blake Griffin's turned more to a playmaker, I see. Like, his game has shifted.
He used
like,
to be one of my
very
favorite
drastically.
Lob City?
Not negatively, though, and not positively. Just a bit of a mix.
Wait, can we talk Knicks for a second or no? We don't have enough time.
You know what? We don't because Knicks is going to be a very complex thing. Probably talk about that next episode. We're going to end off with a little game that I have prepared for you guys. It's a Who Am I? All right, so I'm going to give you guys a little...
Oh, Stephen A. Smith.
I'm going to give you guys a little sentence about a player. You guys guess. So there's difficulties. So the first one I say is impossible. The second one is hard. The third is medium.
So we're starting off with impossible?
So it's going to be like, I'll go impossible. If someone gets it, they'll get 4 points.
Oh, you're going to give...
Yeah,
I'm putting my phone down. I'm not looking.
Okay, so let's start off with the first one. Let me see who this is. Okay, so the first hint... I attended Oklahoma.
That's it?
That's the first hint.
Who is it?
Yeah, who is it? I attended Oklahoma.
It'd be like 25 people.
Exactly.
That's the point. Like, if you get it on the first guess, like, it's you get 4 points, right?
Yeah.
If you get it on two, like, hints, it's like 3 points.
Oh, okay.
It's like so how many hints can you get before you can guess it.
Okay, so it's either Blake Griffin or Trae Young. So I'm going to go Blake Griffin.
Blake Griffin, okay.
Oh, we're going for it. Okay.
I'm going for it. Okay.
Well, if you want to, he said his guess, so we'll go. Then you can always change it. But
I'll start Trae. I'll go Trae Young.
Trae Young,
just change it up.
I agree with Justin. I'm gonna go Griffin because off the top of my head, that's probably one of the two players I could think of. So,
okay. So the answer is Trae Young.
Oh
so
my
I'm
lord!
Go through the
bull.
Rest.
I am on fire.
That's bull right there.
All
right.
So for the next one, we'll do. If you have the answer for the first hint, you can say it, and then if you don't, you can ask for the next one.
All right.
Okay. So our next one. So we have the first hint. My parents are 5'6 and 5'9.
Oh, I know this one.
Do you actually?
Yeah, I know the answer to this one.
I have an idea, but I think it's wrong.
You want to answer?
Yeah, it's Boban.
Boban. It is
Boban. I read that. Yeah,
I saw that.
It actually is Boban. That's crazy.
I scooped over that on Instagram, actually.
I saw it the other day, yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny, actually. All
right, the next one.
That's insane.
Next one. My grandfather was a second overall pick in 1964.
64?
I think I do know this one too.
64, 96, 64, 96,
64. You think you know it as well?
I think I know this one. I'm just guessing at this point. Can I go McAdoo on this one? Bob McAdoo?
That is not the answer.
Okay.
1964.
I'm going to guess.
His grandfather was drafted in 1964.
Hold on. His grandfather.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa. His grandfather.
Was it his grandfather?
Yeah, you don't have to answer right now. I can go to the next hint if you guys want
to
answer.
Yeah,
go to the next.
Next hint. I was injured in the first game of the season.
Was it...
This season we're talking about.
This guy got injured first game?
Of this season.
Okay, you know what? Okay, it's not Marvin Bagley.
Is it Marvin Bagley?
Okay, but you don't have to... Okay.
Yeah, who's his grandfather?
I don't know who his grandfather is, but he was drafted second overall in the 1960s.
I didn't know Marvin Bagley.
I thought... If it was like Michael Thompson, I thought of Michael Thompson. They said the grandfather. Yo, Nikim,
does that count?
You know what I was thinking? I was thinking about James Michael McAdoo. That
I know you were thinking James Michael McAdoo. Yeah,
does
yeah,
that count?
Yeah.
Does that count?
I was thinking about Klay Thompson possibly.
I said Michael Thompson.
Yeah, Michael Thompson was probably one that'd be up there. Okay, we got. Let's do two more. All right, so we have. I was a fourth overall pick out of Syracuse.
Oh, easy. Is it? Okay, is it Carmelo?
No, it is not Carmelo. Anybody else want to guess on the first one or more hints?
Who else went to Syracuse?
It's Wesley Johnson.
It is not Wesley Johnson.
Did he not go fourth, though?
But I'm not even sure if he went to Syracuse.
Yeah, he went to Syracuse.
He went to Syracuse? Wesley Johnson went to Syracuse?
Yeah, like, check it out.
But it's not Wesley Johnson.
Okay, wait, give me a second.
Who else has actually went to Syracuse?
I don't know who else went to Syracuse. And that's one of my favorite teams.
Was he not
college,
the fourth pick, though? Can someone pull that up for me?
I'm pulling it up right now. Man, it pulled up an actual university called Wesley Johnson. he did go to Syracuse.
Was he the fourth pick, though?
That I will check for another day. Anyways, next hand.
No, yes. Bro. Check if he was the fourth pick.
Bro, don't tell. Is it Derek Coleman?
No, I don't even know who Derek Coleman is.
Oh.
Was that the 2011 NBA draft?
2010.
2010?
Yeah.
Shit.
Are there four letters in this dude's first name?
Yes.
And four in his last?
Four in his last?
Yeah.
No.
Really? I was going to guess Dave Bing.
I have no idea who that is.
Four letters in his first name?
Dave Bing.
Did you say he was the fourth pick?
Yes.
I was going to say first pick because I know Michael Carter.
Give us a second hint. Give us another hint.
I am 6'3 and 27 years old.
It's not Michael Carter because Michael Carter was
first
pick.
This guy was the fourth pick in the draft. And he did go to Syracuse.
Okay, well, this is the I'm getting this off of Instagram page, so I'll give you partially a point for that.
Come on.
Okay, next hint. I was recently suspended by my team for ingesting edibles.
It's Dion Waiters.
Dion
Waiters.
Yeah.
All right, that
was a good one. But
we'll do one last one.
Do I get like a half?
Yeah, I'll give Justin a half point.
I'll
give Justin a half point. Okay, my dad worked for the Mets, which led to me being around the MLB as a kid.
Ooh.
If anybody can get this.
I've heard of this story, but I just can't put my finger on it.
Give me the next hint.
It's tough.
The next hint. That's too easy. Okay. What's it called? Okay, so on draft day, he was traded for someone that right now is not equivalent to the same talent.
Again, could be anybody.
His dad worked for the Mets when he was a kid.
When was this guy drafted, can I ask?
I'm trying to think.
Within the last 5 years.
In the last 5 years. His dad worked for the Mets.
So assuming that means he was involved in baseball growing up as a kid.
Lottery pick?
Yes, it was a lottery pick. Yes.
Was he a multi-sport athlete?
Yes.
Is it a basketball player?
Basketball player, NBA
I'm thinking of Patrick Mahomes. I don't know why.
Well, Bo Jackson.
Yeah, he's in my head. If I give you
the next hint, you guys are all going to get it.
Give it to us.
Yeah.
I attended Louisville.
Oh, Donovan Mitchell.
Oh,
his dad were for the Mets?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Remember, Donovan Mitchell had a scholarship to play baseball as well.
Did he?
Yeah, he was like a really good...
did you go to Louisville?
A shortstop. Oh. He did go to Louisville. But then...
didn't he get his...
He's an overrated basketball player, but...
Yeah. Okay, that's for another time.
That's a Malik
Salt Lake City, 2023.
Salt Lake City, boys.
We're still coming.
Hoop Central trip to Salt Lake City. Any viewers in Salt Lake City, we're coming to you guys in 2021.
We're still coming.
Honestly, yo, Hoop Central meetup in 2023.
Let's do it, yeah. Pull up.
All right, boys, I think that's all the time we have for this episode.
Yeah, I think that's all for this episode. Thank you guys for listening.
That was fun.
See you guys next week.
Yeah, stay safe out there.
Later.
Later.
Easy, guys.